Amen. Let's pray. Holy God in heaven, thank you so much just for bringing us all together here tonight, God. Father, we are so grateful that you are in our lives, that you dig into the mud and the mire, God, and rescued us, Father. God, thank you for forgiving us and sanctifying us and for allowing us, God, to have a relationship with you, Father. God, thank you for the peace that that brings us and just the lives that we can live because of that, Father. God, are we so grateful that you love us. We pray, God, that you'll just be with me at this time. Be with every single one of us, God. Open our hearts. Soften them, God. Help us to hear what we need to hear. Help us to take away something tonight, God, that can help us to know that you love us more and that it will inspire us to love you more, God. Father, please be with the men. Fill John with courage and conviction so that he will preach your word boldly, God. Please be with the Stellenbosch people. Bless them tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, we can't talk enough about God's love. Am I right? Because I think we can really take it for granted. Or we can completely miss the boat. You know, and tonight, I just want you to walk away feeling loved. Who here feels completely loved by God? Completely accepted. Like, you the bee's knees, I'm the woman. Okay, great. If you didn't put your hand up, this class really is for you tonight. Unconditional love is known as affection without limitations. Where must this thing be? Higher or lower? No boundaries or borders. Each area of expertise has a certain way of describing unconditional love, but most will agree that it is that type of love which has no bounds and is unchanging. It is a concept comparable to true love, a term which is more frequently used to describe love between lovers. By contrast, unconditional love is frequently used to describe love between family members, comrades in arms, and between others in highly committed relationships. An example of this is a parent's love for their child. No matter a test score, a life-changing decision, an argument, or a strong belief, the amount of love that remains between the bond is seen as unchanging and unconditional. In psychology, unconditional love refers to a state of mind in which one has a goal of increasing the welfare of another despite any evidence of benefit for oneself. Now, this is the explanation that the world gives us of what unconditional love is. And I don't think it's a bad start, but I think it's so much even more than that. And I mean, I love this. It has no bounds and is unchanging. You know, I don't know about you, but growing up, that's not the house I grew up in. You know, and even now with my children, it's very tempting for me to love them conditionally. You know, when they do well, then I really love them and you did so well, and 10 out of 10. But if they're not doing so well, if they're battling with something, or the girls, oh my goodness, the girls are at each other all the time. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my girls, you know. But this is God, no bounds and is unchanging no matter what. No matter what, there is no up and down with God. You know, it refers to the state of mind in which one has the goal of increasing the welfare of others, despite any evidence of benefit for oneself. I mean, what does God gain by loving us? He doesn't gain anything. But that's his mindset. His mindset is so focused on loving us and making us feel loved. You know, Zephaniah 3 in verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." This is one of my favorite verses. You know, it says he is with you. He wants to be with you. You know, he is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. You know, delight, when you look at the word delight, it means, you know, he can't get enough of you. He's like, oh my goodness, this is my child. This is my daughter who I love. You know, what else does it say? It says, he will quiet you with his love. You know, doesn't that give you the idea of somebody who's anxious and he will quieten you with his love? You know, that little baby was now, you know, crying. And what did her mother do? She quietened her with her love. You know, he will rejoice over you with singing. You know, you don't sing when we're sad. You know, I don't sing to my girls when I'm like ticked off with them. You know what I'm saying? We sing when we are happy. That's God's heart towards us. He sings, he rejoices. He sings over us with rejoices over us with singing. You know, sometimes I think we can think, you know, God is just interested in what he can get out of us, you know? And we just need to do this and do that. But that's not who God is. God gets nothing from us loving him. Do you know what I'm saying? He doesn't need our love. You know, sometimes I can be overwhelmed by God's love. And when last were you overwhelmed with God's love? You know, when I was a young Christian, I was an usher, and I cried every communion. I would hand out the bread, and I would cry. And the wine. Honestly, that was me. I would just bawl my eyeballs out every communion. And then I cried sometimes, and then I stopped crying. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we came to Cape Town, and I started crying again. So now it's fine. But I mean, I think the worship also just does that for me. When we sing and we praise God, it's easy to cry. But are you still crying? Is your heart still soft? Does God's love overwhelm you, you know? Overwhelm means to overpower, overcome, engulf, devastate, overthrow. Does it drive you to tears? That's what God's love should do to us. It should soften our hearts. You know, I know I shared this with you before, but I always think about he still made us, even though he knew we were going to disappoint him. He still went ahead and made the Garden of Eden, even though he knew his son would die on the cross. I mean, that just, doesn't that blow you away? Does that still make your heart soft? It's like clay dough. We need to go to those places that will soften our heart. You know, there was a time when my love for God had become very conditional. You know, 10 years in the ministry, it's like, okay, I won't do this and I won't do that and I'll go here and I won't go there. And you know how you get after a couple of years. And San Antonio was just so good for my heart when we went to the conference. God just floored me. You know, and that's what we need sometimes. We just need to be flawed, you know. And I was like, I won't go to this place or that place. And God, I just said, God can change my heart in a second. And until he changes my heart, I'm not doing anything. And he did, because that's how God works, like that. If you want God to work in your heart, and you want it badly enough, it can work like that. And he did that for me, you know. Last year when we did the course, the MTA course, on the Old Testament, we had to read through the whole Old Testament, but like very quickly, because we didn't have to focus on key sections. It was a big picture of the Old Testament, and I want to encourage you to do that because it's very encouraging. And so what I did was I cheated, and I listened to some of the Bible on my BibleGateway.com, and one night I just put it on my laptop and I listened to the whole book of Hosea. Please turn there, Hosea chapter 11. And by the time I got to Hosea chapter 11, I mean, that was me, you know, I was just finished. And also this guy has this deep voice, and he sounds like God, you know. But I want to encourage you, read the whole, or listen to the whole book of Hosea. What an incredible love story it is. You know, it says verse 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. You know, and then it goes on about what's going on. And, you know, verse 8 says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? And how can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. You know, I love this so much. You know, I always think of, when I read this, it's like a little child who wants to learn to walk. And this father is walking behind the child, holding his little hands up. Do you not get that image when you read this? This is God, sisters. You know, he loves us so very, very much. You know, the one day, Isabella looked very pretty. And I said, did you say thank you to God for making you so pretty? And she walked around the corner to the mirror and she said, thank you, God, for making me the most beautiful girl in the world. And I was like, great. Rather let her feel that way than not feel loved by God. And that's how we need to walk around. We need to walk around feeling like, I am the most loved woman on the planet. Because we are. You know, I love Psalm 18, verse 35. You know, he says, you stoop down and you make me great. You know, and this stoop down is not, you know, I think again of, you know, how we talk about parenting our children. We don't speak to our children like this. What do? We kneel down. We look at them in the eye because we don't want to intimidate them. Don't you see that this is what God is doing in the scripture? He stoops down to make us great. And not just great the way the world sees it, but significant. Do you feel significant tonight? Because you are significant, sisters. You know, like I said, I didn't grow up in a household like this. I got the finger. You know, and I got the Jacqueline Amanda Engelbrecht, you know, or the, if she remembered my name, otherwise I was Vil Al Jack, that was my name, Vil Al Jack, but they were also Jack Alville and all these things. You never knew who she was talking to, but somehow you just went and then, you know, but I mean, my mom was wonderful, don't get me wrong. I always felt loved by my mom, but I think sometimes we can hold on to this. You know, God is like, oh, just one more strike and you're out of here. Yeah, just miss one more quiet time. And, oh my goodness, I'm watching if you're sharing your faith. Ooh, and if you don't share your faith, I'm going to strike you. I'm going to zap you. You know, that's not God. God isn't a bully. You know, I think sometimes we think God is a bully. God is our dads. God is our moms who treated us like that. Lamentations 3 verse 22 and 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, what can consume us, sisters? Life. Everyday life can consume us. Our failures, our weaknesses, our mistakes, our marriages, our parenting, work. Oh my goodness. We can get so consumed with life. But because of God's great love for us, we are not consumed. Isn't that awesome? You know, it's so freeing when we just give all these things to God. We don't have to be consumed with our lives. You know, every morning he has new compassion towards us. It's not, okay, 365 days, but I'm counting. So if your mercy runs out in August, good luck. That's not what God is like. Every day it's brand new faithfulness. Sisters, when we pursue God feverishly and desire to love him passionately, we will experience an unexpected and sudden collision with joy and fulfillment. It will happen if that's what you desire. You know, I love Moses in Exodus 33, where God says, these people, I can't anymore. You go. You take my people to the promised land. And Moses is like, oh my goodness, if you're not coming with us, we're not going. And this was Moses. He saw the 10 plagues and he opened the Red Sea. He was like, I'm not going to go if you're not coming with us. David in Psalm 63, verse 3 to 7, you can turn your Bibles there. Psalm 63. Verse 3. It says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. You know, can you see David's heart? Your love is better than life. That's how he could get through all the things he went through. Oh my goodness, what a life David lived. But he got through all of it because God was enough for him. You know, when we pursue him feverishly and desire to love him passionately, we will have an unexpected and stunning collision with joy and fulfillment. I love that. That's how I want to live my life. Unexpected and stunning and whoo, you know, just around the corner, what's going to happen, you know? This morning in the car, we actually prayed, God, help us all to see you today. Because I want my girls to look for God every day. I want them to see him. I don't want them to just, okay, now we go to church, or now we talk about Jesus. And I want them to see God. I want them to be fulfilled. I want God to fill them. You know, let's look at Jesus' great love for us. I read a great book last year on the Apostle John. I think it was the Beloved Apostle or something. But, you know, he's the disciple who was called the one Jesus loved. You know? I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to be the one Jesus loved. You know, if I was one of the 12, could I be that one? You know, Peter's the rah-rah-rah one. But can I be the one that Jesus loved? And yet, all 12 of them, except for him, except for John, was willing to die a martyr's death for Jesus. They all felt loved. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh well, let the beloved disciple die the martyr's death. That's not how it was. They all felt loved enough. Isn't God amazing? You know, if we look at Jesus' character, you know, how do you see Jesus? You know, can you imagine his laugh? You know, I think when I read the Bible, I think he must have had so much fun with those disciples. You know what I'm saying? Walking on the water and scaring them and, you know, like, oh, it's a ghost. It's like, no, it's just me, you know. And I can just imagine, you know, I don't know if you've watched those Jesus movies. But the one I watched, you know, the Jesus had such a wonderful character. And like the Beatitudes, he had like a bag of water and he was spraying them with the water. And they were laughing and, you know, they had fish fries. Jesus was the first Capetonian, okay. He invented fish fries, you know. I love that about him. He ate with tax collectors and sinners and children. Women felt loved by him and heard and respected. You know, God instituted celebration, sisters. Not us. You know, Leviticus 23 gives them a whole list of celebrations that they needed to have. God wants us to live happy and joyful lives. You know. Jesus' attitude wasn't, okay, here I go. I've got to die for the world. That wasn't Jesus. You know, he did it with a happy heart, still singing and rejoicing over us. You know, partying was God's idea, sisters. And why I'm going there now is because I think God wants us to live happy and fulfilled lives. He did his first miracle at a wedding. He made wine. He filled empty jars with wine, with new wine. That's what God wants to fill our lives with. His first miracle that was written down is significant. He wants to fill our lives with new wine, sisters. John 10:10, we all know it. Give us life to the full. He didn't just come to give us life. He came to give us life to the full. Over and above, more than enough, generally superabundant, much and great, more, overflowing. These bags must be overflowing, sisters. You know, and that's what his plan is for our lives, more. You know, we can never know him enough. In Luke 24, verse 32, it's a lot of scriptures, but just write them down. You can go over them later. Says, were not our hearts burning within us while he walked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? That's what he does. When we spend time with God, what happens? Our hearts burn within us. And I know you all know what it feels like, otherwise you wouldn't have been here tonight. We all know how it feels to have that, oh my soul, God loves me. And if you haven't had it yet, pray. In an instant, God can do it. And if you haven't had one in a while, pray. Ask Him. Search for it. Beg Him for it. You know? But what makes us doubt God's love? Unanswered prayers? You know, I was in a region for 10 years. You know, when we went in the ministry, it was like dreams of the mission teams and all the churches that were going to be planted and we were going to go. And like 10 years later, it was like, okay, what's your goal for the year? To get through the year. It sounds really bad. I was in a bad place, people. Bad, bad place. But unanswered prayers can make us doubt God's love. Hard times financially, you know, you just feel stuck. Oh my goodness, when are we going to get this lesson? It's so hard. How did we get here again? You know, there comes a plan and it's like, great. And then it was like, oh, now what happened? You know, health problems, you're just not getting better. Or your kids are sick. I don't think there's anything worse. You know, you're still waiting for Mr. Right. Or your Mr. Right has turned into Mr. Wrong. Life is tough. But guess what? God is Mr. Right. You know, I love what Phil Arsenal said last year. He said, we weren't promised happy marriages. That's not the goal. The goal is to be holy. And we can be holy and we can be happy with God. You know, now what? James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Ask him. Really as simple as that. Just ask Him. Ask Him for new revelations. You know, I got to a point in my Bible study where I was like, oh my word, this is a struggle. You know, you start reading a verse, but you like refinish it in your head, you know. And now when I read my Bible, I say, God, help me to see something new. And He does. He shows me new things. You know, this is the inspired word of God. It's without limit. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 11. Just turn there as well quickly. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 11. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We still haven't seen it. There's still so much more. You know, I think what happens when we feel completely loved, we can then completely love others. You know, in Mark 8, verse 24, we read a story about a blind man, you know, and it's one of those stories that you read and you're kind of like, was Jesus having an off day? You know, why didn't he heal this man completely, you know? You know, Jesus touched this man, and then he said in verse 24, he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Have you ever read this scripture and was like, shame, Jesus didn't have a great quiet time that morning. You know, like what was going on with Jesus, you know? But you know, I mean, and bear with me, I'm probably stretching the scripture a bit, but that's okay. It's a women's class. It's fine. We can stretch it. But you know, this guy had been touched by Jesus. But the people around him looked like trees. I think sometimes we need another touch from Jesus so that the people won't look like trees. Do you know what I'm saying? Are people around you starting to look like trees? Do you know what I'm saying? You look at them and you're thinking, oh my soul, how did I get into this group? I mean, I hope that's not how you're feeling. Or at work, you're like, these people are never going to become Christians. They're just a bunch of trees. You know what I'm saying? You need another touch from Jesus. You need to dig deeper and say, God, help me to see people the way you see people. You know, sisters, I wanted to talk about the way we see ourselves. Are you just an object? Or do you value yourself the way God values you? Are you significant? Do you see yourself as significant? You know, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." You know, sisters, I want us to talk about our purity. Again, this is the hottest place I've ever lived. And all I want to do is jump into the pool and clothes are hot. But we need to think about how we are dressing, sisters. You know, we need to be examples of purity. We need to be models of purity. We need to be the standard of purity in this room. We need to set the standard that the men will be able to look at us and not wish we were trees. You know what I'm saying? You know, the brothers are commanded to treat us with absolute purity in 1 Timothy 5 verse 2. You know, treat younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That's what they are called to do, to treat us with absolute purity. But are you worthy of such respect? You know, sisters, it's the most painful thing ever when a brother comes to me and says, "Please, can you talk to the sisters about the way they dress?" I'll talk to the sisters. That is tough. That these guys, I mean, life is tough. Billboards, people at work. I mean, go everywhere, anywhere. It's tough for the guys, you know. On campus, this is the one thing the men speak about the most, is purity. It is a huge struggle for guys. Sometimes just a bra strap leads them places that they don't need to go. You know, low tops. We all have different bodies here, and we're not going to get complicated with this is not allowed and that is not allowed. But look at yourself before you leave your house. And if you doubt, why leave your house doubting? Rather change. Rather ask someone, "What do you think of the way I dress? And am I approachable? Do you feel like you can talk to me about the way I dress?" You know, sisters, we need to be talking about too tight pants. Are your pants too tight? Are your skirts too short and your shorts too short? You know, when I was teaching Gabby about modesty when she was small, she was so cute. And the one day we were walking in the shops and this girl had quite a short skirt on. And she said, "Mommy, that auntie isn't modest." But she said it so loud that this woman just looked at us, you know. And I was like, "Come, Gabby, you know." And I'm, but then, I don't know how long after that, she saw a picture in a magazine and this woman's arm was sticking out. And she said, "Mommy, that's not modest." I was like, no, my girl, that's modest, you know, because then now she was like over the top, okay, nothing can stick out, you know. And that's not where we want to go. We don't want to go there, okay, it's 35 degrees, 43 in Durbanville the other day, and we need to look like this. And that's not what we're saying. But sisters, please. These guys, you know, somebody once said to me, "She'll wear a bikini because everyone wears bikinis and, you know, people don't even notice you because you're just like everyone else." Do you want to be like everyone else? I don't want to be like everyone else. I don't want the men to look at me and like, "Oh my soul, here comes Jackie." You know, that's not what I want. I want them to be able to look at me for who I am. And again, if we see ourselves the way God sees us, the way you look isn't as important as I think we think it is, or we make it out to be. Obviously, I love looking pretty. You know, I've got two little girls. They love dressing up and looking pretty, and they want to wear makeup all the time. But it's not as important as we make it out to be. You know, but among you, Ephesians 5, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's just improper. And I'm saying, when you come to church, please don't let anything stick out. You know, no line, no cleavage. Just save it for when you're home. Thanks, sisters. Let us be a safe place for the brothers. And then again to the sisters in this room. let us not be trees to one another. Let us see each other the way that God sees us. Let us see each other as significant. And if people are looking like trees, ask God for another touch. Touch me again. Help me to see people the way that you see them. We're going to watch a little video now, and I'm sure you've all watched it before, but it's one of those you can't watch enough. See that one enough. That's how much God loves us, sisters. That boy did nothing. He just sat there and enjoyed the ride. He didn't have to get out or push. I mean, it's amazing. That's how much God loves you. And if you don't feel it, please speak to someone. Because God loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. I wasn't supposed to cry, God, but anyway. Thank you that you know, Father, what's going on in our hearts right now. God, you know if there's pain, if there's disappointment, if there's suffering, God, if we are sad, Father, you know, if we just don't know which way to go, we're just tired, Father. God, thank you. Thank you that before a word is on our tongue, you know it already, God. Father, you are the most amazing Father. Thank you, God, that you are not like our earthly parents, God. Thank you, Father, that you are unconditional, that there is no limit to your love, God, that the boundary lines for us have fallen in pleasant places. God, I love how you love us completely, how you rejoice over us with singing, Father. God, I pray for every single woman here tonight and for those who are not here, couldn't make it, God. I pray, Father, that we will pursue you feverishly. I pray, God, that we will desire to love you passionately, God. I pray, Father, that we will be able to experience sudden collisions with joy and fulfillment, God. Father, that we will not just be here and be trees ourselves, God, but that we will fight, Father, to live the life to the full that you want us to live, God. Father, thank you for tonight. Please protect us on the way home. Help us to live fulfilled lives for the rest of the week until we can get back together on Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.